This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Good evening, everyone. It's Basma Farhad of the People Speak radio show. Here, when the people speak, we make a difference. And if anybody's made a difference, I think, in television, in media, and in the world of conspiracy, it would be our guest tonight, Jesse Ventura. Jesse is a former governor of Minnesota, author of several best-selling books, including Don't Start the Revolution Without Me, American Conspiracies. He is also the host of his television show, Conspiracy Theory, on True TV. Hello, Jesse. It's a pleasure and an honor to have you with us this evening.
Thank you. My pleasure to be here. But unfortunately, this book doesn't have anything to do with conspiracies. This book is all government documents.
That's it. 63 of them. 63 government documents that the government doesn't want you to read. Now, Jesse, you know, where do you start with something like that? First of all,
well,
how
actually,
did you get a hold of these documents?
Well, Dick Russell deserves great credit for that, because that's why we make a good team. It's my third Dick. Dick and I are working together, and Dick is a phenomenal researcher, and that's not my strong point. And so we work well as a team. He finds them, I read them, and write about them. And all of these documents can be found in the back of the book. In the epilogue, we list about 10 places where those interested can do their own investigating and find their own documents, good places to do it. And so they're all out there in the public domain. You just got to search for them.
And I don't even know where to start on this, Jesse. There's so much that you have brought about. It was like, okay, where do we start? Obviously, you are either considered, some people consider you nothing more than a troublemaker, and some people want to vote you in for president. How do you react to something like that?
Well, to me, it's simple. I'm a great believer that we have to have an involved citizenry to have a good government, and I'm also a great believer in open government. After all, we pay their bills. They operate on our dollar. So we have every right to know what they're spending our money on. I mean, statistics show that in a five-day work week, you work two of the days for the government and three for yourself. Well, if you work 2 days for the government, don't you think you ought to know what they're doing with your money? I do. And so on. I view nothing off limits in knowledge of government, because they're supposed to be my government to begin with, and they're supposed to work for us. Somehow that's gotten lost now through the years, and it seems more like they believe we're supposed to work for them when it's the opposite.
Jesse, how does the community at large fit into what they call the need to know?
Well, the community doesn't know anything. I mean, if you look at statistically, last year alone, the government declared 16 million documents top secret. It comes out to about 40,000 a day. Must be every document they do. And we're not allowed to see those because they're classified. I challenge it like this. I go, when I was in the Navy SEALs, I had a top secret security clearance. I've since then been a mayor and a governor. I'm now back just being a tax-paying citizen. At what point did I lose my security clearance, and why?
At what point did you lose it?
I guess when I became a citizen again and just paid taxes like I am today. Now I can't know about this stuff.
I guess that's a very interesting question to ask you. Really, what does happen? I know when it comes to the presidential house, there is, you know, obviously you take an oath that you would not reveal any of this stuff, and I do, and I believe that in government as well, and I believe that there's a certain amount of secrecy that must be maintained. But I agree with you. I think it's gotten to the point where it's absolute. This isn't secrecy. This is covert operations that are happening. without our consent. And we are running, oh, I thought we were running the show. I guess we're not, are we really, Jesse?
No, I don't believe so. I think that we're pawns in a bigger scheme, pretty much. It seems that way, that, you know, because they're supposed to be working for us. And I think that's the major concept that is lost sight of as soon as elections are over. You know, all the career politicians come and beg you for your vote, and they tell you how great you are when they need you to put them in office. And then the minute they get in office, well, now they're lording over us. They're going to tell us how it's going to be, and they're in charge. And they need to realize that it isn't supposed to quite work that way, that they're supposed to go there and be an open government, and that citizens have a right to know what they're doing, and that they shouldn't be involved in things that they many times ought to go to jail for. I mean, when you look at what some of these documents and some of the things that have been perpetrated on these documents, you can't figure out if this was the private sector, you'd be in prison. And yet,
you know,
they're not.
In your book, and again, 63 documents the government doesn't want you to read. How clear can that be? On one of the first pages, you say to Congressman Ron Paul, the only federally elected official who will stand up for America on the congressional floor.
Yep, I dedicated the book to him.
That's quite an honor to dedicate a book like this to someone. People are talking about Jesse Ventura and a Ron Paul ticket.
Well, I dedicated the book to Congressman Paul because of after WikiLeaks took place. He was the only one in Congress that stood out on the floor and said, hooray, we need more WikiLeaks. And he made the point, which was hugely valid, when he stated that in what's supposedly a free country, how can telling the truth be equivalent to treason? When the truth becomes treason, we're in bad shape. And I agree wholeheartedly with him on that. And,
what were your thoughts on the debate last night?
I didn't watch it. Why should I? For what purpose? I won't vote for a Democrat or a Republican. It doesn't matter which one you elect. They're both bought off on both sides by the same lobbyists, the same corporations. It's truly the same old policy. I mean, Barack Obama ran on change we can believe in. Where is it? I haven't
Absolutely
seen one
nowhere, not that I can see. You're not a fan of Barack Obama's administration.
I was initially. But after 3 years of seeing no change, I mean, I can't tell whether it's him or Bush.
Mm.
By policy, we're in more wars than we were in.
Mm-hmm.
We still got Guantanamo. We're not going to try these guys in open court like we ought to so that we can hear the evidence. How come I'm not allowed to hear the evidence in any of these terrorist cases? Didn't they attack us, the people? Then don't we have a right to hear the evidence against them?
And they're not allowing it. Well,
they're not allowing it, which defies the Constitution.
Do we really want to hear the evidence? Look what happened.
That defies the Constitution. The Constitution, they have to be tried either in New York, Pennsylvania, or Virginia. And yet we're not abiding by the Constitution. Why don't we abide by the Constitution when it comes to terrorism? I'll give you another interesting example. We killed Osama bin Laden because of 9/11, right?
Mm-hmm.
How come he was never indicted for it?
Well,
don't you think we should have to indict someone before we put them to death?
I think the old adage is dead men tell no tales.
Yeah, but wait a minute. That isn't about telling tales. Don't you think we have a system in this country of law? Don't we have to indict someone before we murder them? The government has come forward with no official evidence. There's never been an official thing that shows the evidence that Osama bin Laden did 9/11.
And he actually denied doing it.
Exactly. So how is it that we didn't, why don't we indict him? All that means is that the government convenes a grand jury of citizens like you and I. They
mm-hmm.
present their evidence, and the citizens go, you know, there's enough meat on this bone. That's an indictment. We'll issue an indictment. Then they can actually, if they capture him, bring him to trial. and they have a reason to go get him then. All we were told on 9/11 was he did it. There was no debate allowed on it. No evidence has ever been officially put into play, officially. They just told us things. And now
they told us things and we believe him.
He'll never talk now. I would have liked to have seen him captured so we could learn from him about the rest of Al-Qaeda. That would be far more important.
I agree. I certainly, I mean, personally, we were personally stunned when we found out that he had been killed. And the way he had been killed and the way he had been buried immediately just left so much question. I mean, there was no purpose to that.
Well, let's remember that, you know, they've lied to us so often. They lied to us about the murder of Pat Tillman. They lied to us about the Jessica Lynch rescue. They lied about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. When someone lies enough, they lose their credibility. So, in a way, for me, I still have this little bit of doubt that did they really kill him? And then if you look at the facts, we were told that he was on a dialysis machine 10 years ago, and I heard many stories that doctors said the disease he had is usually fatal within 2 to 3. So how did he manage to live 10?
I don't know. So what does all this mean?
I don't know.
What does it mean to us?
In this manner, my book shows you that the government's a bunch of hypocrites. I call us the United States of hypocrisy now, which hypocrisy means what they do. They say one thing, but these documents prove they behave the opposite. And you can't
argue
with these
listeners. Documents.
It's not my opinion.
For our listeners, I'd like to that have not had the opportunity to look at the book or see how the book was presented. Part one was titled "Our Scandalous Postwar History." Part two was "The Government, Military, and Corporate Secrets." Part three, "Shady White Houses." Part four, 9/11, and part five was "The War on Terror." Now, you have taken us historically from some of the most major events in the country. Where do you find that this is leading us somewhere, Jesse? These can't possibly be just random acts that are happening.
Well, let's remember what the great Colonel L. Fletcher Prouty said. Colonel Prouty said, "Nothing just happens. Everything is planned."
Well, there you go.
And Colonel Prouty,
his
position from 1954 to 64, he was underneath General Krulak of the Marines of the Joint Chiefs, and his job was he was the direct liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA. So he knew everything.
Well, let me ask.
Do you know who he was? Did you see the movie
JFK? No, honestly, I don't. I'd be lying if I said I did.
No, did you see the movie JFK?
Yes.
Okay, do you remember the Donald Sutherland character?
Yes.
Mr. X?
Oh,
that character was based on Colonel L. Fletcher Prouty.
Really?
Yeah. Because Oliver Stone, when he did the movie, the media, mainstream media, immediately attacked him. They said that the Mr. X character, the Donald Sutherland character, was made up so that it would fill in all the blanks to Oliver's conspiracy. And Oliver took it until he got in front of the National Press Club, and they started in again on him. And when they were done, Oliver said, "No, Mr. X is based on a real person. In fact, he's up here on the dais with me today," and he introduced them, Colonel L. Fletcher Prouty. The media almost panicked. They went dead silent. What could they say?
Hmm.
You know, after accusing him of making up the character, and then he produces the person who the character is modeled after. And Prouty just stood up and waved to them. It was kind of humorous.
So it was actually so there was no denying it at that point.
Well, what could they say? They accused him of making a character up to fit his conspiracy, and now the character proved to be a very high-ranking government official in the Pentagon, liaisoned with the CIA from 54 to 64, who would probably know quite a bit of stuff about what went on during John Kennedy. and his presidency.
Jesse, if I were to ask you right now, what was the most heinous thing that the United States is engaged in, can you give me a top three?
In what, my lifetime?
Well,
right
yeah,
now.
In your lifetime.
In my lifetime, I would have to say number one is the murder of President Kennedy. Because my belief there, I do not believe Oswald acted alone. And on my TV show, we actually, Howard Hunt confessed to his son, St. John, and we aired it. He did a deathbed confession. He named who was involved, William Harvey of the CIA's assassination unit, David Sanchez Morales, who also killed Che Guevara in Bolivia a few years later. And mainstream media didn't even mention it, that there was a confession to a murder, and there's no statute of limitations on murder. And so I would rate the murder of President John F. Kennedy is in the top three, because the reason is, if you can murder the president and get away with it, what can't you do?
Not much, I guess.
If a coup d'etat can take place in this country, which was, I believe, it was what happened November the 23rd, 1963, and it was completely covered up, and it still is today, to me, that's one of the, it's got to be in the top three, because if Kennedy had lived, there probably would have never been a Vietnam War. Documents and what he talked about indicate clearly Kennedy was pulling us out of Vietnam. I believe we have that document in the book, in fact. Kennedy's plan to withdraw troops from Vietnam. We show two documents dealing with it. So there probably wouldn't have been a Vietnam War, which would have changed the face of history of the United States immensely today.
And if you look at your book, Jesse, in your book, 63 documents that the government doesn't want
included, because that changed America completely.
9/11.
Yeah, 9/11. And for a third one, boy, I don't know. Maybe all the assassinations of the 60s, if we could lump them in there, because they really took away the leaders who were going to try to take the country in a different direction. Dr. Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy, Malcolm X, John Lennon, all those people that were murdered, who were voices of civil rights and voices of a different United States, and it seemed that all the people that were speaking on behalf of the people were taken away.
And for people that are listening, again, I refer to your book. Your first section is on assassinations, and it actually has the manual, the CIA Secret Assassination Manual. And it actually tells if it is possible to kill a man with bare hands, but very few are skillful enough to do it well. This is directly from this document that I'm reading.
Exactly.
So
yeah,
these are...
We reprint all the documents. You can read them yourself and form your own opinion.
Exactly. I mean, you have to look at the information. And isn't that amazing that we have so much information, Jesse, now? Look, you have these 63 major documents in your book. There are the WikiLeaks that have come about, volumes and volumes of information. And yet, really, didn't it die down rather quickly?
Yeah, it did.
Why?
Because I don't know what the problem is with the people in our country, but they seem to be in a stupor. They really seem dumbed down. And I have a theory on it. Can I explain my theory?
Please do.
You're familiar that our government since the 1950s has been putting fluoride in the water, right?
Yes.
Why did they tell you that they should do that?
To protect our teeth.
Okay. Why do we need the government to tell us how to brush our teeth and use mouthwash? Let's get to the real reason I'm getting to. Fluoride in the water was first done by the Nazis. And we started doing it in the 50s on this thing of to keep our teeth healthy. But the problem is this now. We've had generations now on fluoridated water since the 50s to now. And the problem is fluoride is the major 90% ingredient to Prozac.
Fluoride is?
Yes. So essentially you're getting liquid Prozac.
Wow.
Every time you drink fluoridated water, wash with it, it'll go in through your skin. All these magnificent ways of fluoride, and that was first done by the Nazis to calm the people down and make them docile.
And how are
they
able to get away with this without
years, and it's mandated by our government?
It's okay to do it, and how do they get away with it continuously?
Because they tell you got to have it, and they state we will have it, and they put it in the water. And fortunately for me, I don't know why, before I knew this too, all the homes I've owned, I've had my own well, ironically. So I haven't drinking very much at all of fluoridated water.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't say that for everybody in the city and the suburbs who uses city water. It has Prozac in it. And I'm not sure if people really knew that, would they be happy?
Well, I don't think so, considering now they're finding that Prozac causes birth defects in pregnant mothers.
Yeah, well, interesting. And isn't it interesting that since we started drinking fluoridated water, our children have come up all with all these diseases today that they didn't have when I was a kid? Like attention deficit syndrome and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it all seems to time in well with the birth of kids and the parents and people drinking fluoridated water, which is Prozac.
Unbelievable. And do you have... Now, let me ask you, with all this information that you gather, all of the interest that you arouse around the country, not only through your books, but through your shows, through your interviews, do you feel that you're making an impact here, Jeff?
I don't know. Let me be bold enough to say this. When I live in Mexico all winter, I do a great amount of reading. I probably read 15 to 17 books down there over the case of a winter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't watch any TV. And this winter, my wife and I, we started reading some of the works of Hunter S. Thompson. And amazingly, what Hunter was warning us in the 60s and 70s about things in the future, like now, they've all come true. And we've lost Hunter now. Hunter's gone. And so if I can be bold enough, that's why I've dedicated, I wear sunglasses now on all my interviews. I want to replace Hunter Thompson if I can. I want to be the warning.
Actually, I have a question.
That warns the people what's going on.
I actually have a question from Raphael in Florida, Jesse. And
yeah.
He says, Jesse, why have you taken on the persona of Hunter S. Thompson? Are you being threatened in any way?
No, I haven't been threatened at all yet. Not a bit. And I'm taking on Hunter's role because I started to admire his writing and his perception when I won governor. I'd never met him. And through Warren Zevon, who played at my inaugural, he sent a message, came to me from Hunter, along with an audio tape of some great rock and roll music. And the message was simply this. Hunter's message was, Governor Ventura, never answer the phone after midnight. And it was easy for me to sit down and think a moment, and I realized the message Hunter was sending me. As governor, if I take a call after midnight, it's going to be bad news, and I won't sleep the rest of the night.
Mm.
So wait till morning. Don't take a call after midnight as governor, because the only call you're going to get after midnight is going to be bad.
Wonderful.
Pretty unique, the man. Well, I mean, and look at the people that admire him, Johnny Depp. Keith Richards, the list goes on and on. Sean Penn, my son. My son spent a couple weekends with Hunter S. Thompson, and talks about him very, very. You know, Hunter was wild and crazy, but he was also, you know, most geniuses are.
And he, and some people are suggesting that his death was peculiar, or at least
I don't know.
There were some circumstances.
I think I could understand that Hunter, I heard, was in some quite a bit of pain, and in reading him and understanding who he was, I think that I can understand that he would end the pain and do it himself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's a conspiracy to it, but I can also entertain the thought. I just lost one of my SEAL instructors that way. And I take no problem in that. Because to me, you're in charge of your own life and your own body, and what you want to do with it is up to you.
We're going through a lot in the world.
So if you make a decision like that, it's surely yours to make, and no one, I can't criticize anyone that does it.
No, I agree. I mean, nobody. I come from Dr. Death's town, so I absolutely understand that kind of thought process.
Well,
there's a lot going on in the world today.
I just feel that, you know, it's your life, it's your body, and no one walks in your shoes but you.
Exactly.
And ultimately, you make the decision on everything in your life, or you should be able to.
You know, Dr. Kevorkian, in my opinion, did a great service to the world.
He never killed anybody, to my knowledge. He just simply showed them the mechanism of how to do it. And ultimately, to me, if I were dying of an incurable disease and I knew it was going to completely drain everything I could, all my money and everything I could leave my children,
mm-hmm.
I think I'd be brave enough to go ahead. I'd like to think so, and do it in, for my kids' sake. I don't know.
I've been in a lot of pain in my lifetime. I've always suffered with chronic pain, so I understand that place of torment. And
it's your choice.
Ultimately, it is our own lives that we have the destiny over. We have some more questions for you, Jesse.
Sure.
Patty in Florida wants to know, regarding your lawsuit against the TSA, do you think filing a class action lawsuit with Alex Jones and others would make a bigger impact than just filing alone?
No, because the way my suit is filed, I can only file it alone. Because not everyone can claim to be Jesse Ventura. My suit is based upon they're violating Jesse Ventura's Fourth Amendment rights of illegal search, reasonable search and seizure. And what I'm stating is that it's not reasonable to believe Jesse Ventura, the public figure, the mayor, the governor, who's been flying his entire career, poses a threat. Now, not everyone can be as identifiable as me. So they don't know who you are. And that's the point of the single lawsuit. I can't lump myself in with the masses because the masses are not Jesse Ventura.
Well,
and I can only sue on my behalf, stating that it is unreasonable to believe Jesse Ventura, they've called me honorable twice, mayor and governor. The honorable governor Jesse Ventura does not pose a threat. So don't violate. I want no money. All I want them to do is stop and let me fly planes without subjecting me to being searched. Because it's unreasonable and it violates my
Fourth
Amendment rights.
Jesse, under those circumstances, then what happens?
I don't know.
Does everybody that's famous get
I don't know. All I'm doing, the Bill of Rights and are for us as individuals. As each individual in America, we are granted protection by the Bill of Rights. And I am simply suing on behalf of myself that they're violating my Fourth Amendment to the Constitution for reasonable search and seizure. And it's arbitrary. Did you know the Speaker of the House is not subjected to it?
Really?
Yeah.
No. Again,
so
what I'm saying is, how is John Boehner
any more patriotic than me? How am I more of a threat than John Boehner?
We have no cause to understand any of these things. I mean, why would we ask, I guess? So the assumption is that I think that's part of the biggest problem that we face here in the United States. The assumption is that we all follow the law and that we and that the Constitution is the rule of thumb. But it isn't, is it, Jesse?
Well, unfortunately, it should be, but it isn't. We've now made it to where a president and a Congress can pass a law that goes over the top of the Bill of Rights. Look at the Patriot Act. The thing violates the Bill of Rights in four or five of them. And we're allowing that to happen. Our forefathers made the Constitution and the Bill of Rights so that couldn't happen. So that a president and a Congress can't just arbitrarily vote something that takes away your freedoms. And we're letting that happen. Where's our judges on this? Where are the judges that ought to be throwing out the Patriot Act as being unconstitutional? They're dropping the ball.
And where is President Obama when he said that he was going to address not only the Patriot Act, he was going to address warrantless searches, he was going to address the loss of the Bill of Rights, habeas corpus?
Well, he's gone. He's absent from the job. And that's why I'm telling people, stop voting for Democrats and Republicans. It doesn't matter. You get the same government, no matter which side you put in.
And do you think Ron Paul can make a difference?
I think that Ron Paul, it would be a difference to a certain extent. Remember, he'd be greatly outnumbered. I know what that's like. I governed in Minnesota and was by myself as governor facing a Republican House and a Democratic Senate. And believe me, to put it bluntly, I was like the redheaded stepchild that showed up on the day they read the will.
Let me ask you something. Let me pose a couple of questions to you. Why are we in Afghanistan?
For the lithium and for the natural oil pipeline or natural gas pipeline that they completed while we were there.
Mm-hmm.
All wars are done for money and corporate profiting. Every war since World War II, for sure, has been for government and corporate profits. So, and they also found a vein of lithium that they claim is worth $1 trillion. I don't think they found it. I always wondered why the Russians went in there in the 80s. I thought, Afghanistan, who cares about that place? Well, it's huge in mineral wealth. And this vein of lithium, what will lithium be used for? Every cell phone, every computer, and soon to be electric cars. We got to have it. So that's why we fight wars, ladies and gentlemen. It has nothing to do with patriotism. It has nothing to do with freedom. It's about profit and about profit gains. The United States needs lithium, so they need to be in Afghanistan so corporations can go get it. Same as Iraq for oil. Exxon and all them are back. They're pumping oil, and that's why they had an interest in Libya, oil. That's why there was no interest in Rwanda. Documents in my book show they fully knew what was going to happen in Rwanda. Nobody did anything because there was no corporate profit to be made. 800,000 people were just slaughtered with machetes. And I read the book this winter. The colonel that was in charge of NATO from Canada said with a mere 20,000 troops, he could have prevented the whole thing. But no one cared because Rwanda didn't offer any corporate profits.
You call America a state that is turning to fascism.
Well, the definition of fascism is when corporations team up with organized religion to control the government. Can you argue that with me?
I wouldn't even try, Jesse.
We're there then, aren't we?
Because I agree with you 100%.
Well, there you go. So, when you say, all I'm doing is repeating the basic definition of what fascism is. Everybody's saying we're turning socialist. No, we're already fascist.
How is is this all going to be? How is what's happening in the Middle East right now, this incredible turmoil, this uprisings that have happened? Some people say spontaneously. Excuse me. I don't agree with that because I still recall 3 days after entering into Iraq and shock and awe, Rumsfeld was asked, won't this destabilize the Middle East? And for 3 months prior to that, he said, we do not want to destabilize the Middle East. 3 days after the attack of shock and awe, he said, we must destabilize the Middle East. And then he actually went on to literally name the different states in the Middle East, from Syria, and the last one was Saudi Arabia. So I'm not so sure that all of this was really spontaneous. I think that they knew what was going to happen.
Well, let me put it to you this way. I've told you about Colonel L. Fletcher Prouty, right?
Yes.
Here's another teaching from him. Colonel Prouty very specifically stated, nothing just happens. Everything is planned.
Yep.
So take that with a grain of salt. Nothing just happens. Everything is planned. Remember this. Prouty also said this. He said about the CIA, they're supposed to be the intelligence gathering for the president, right? He said that's about 10% of their job. You know what the other 90 is? Going out in the world and starting up wars. After all, Vietnam was a total CIA war.
Yeah. Let me ask you, Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
This is scary stuff.
Yeah.
I know when I first started to come to the understanding of some of this stuff, I mean, I had a great spiritual base, and for me, it was easy to replace my mistrust and my disillusion in the United States with my spiritual base. Not everybody has that. So, how do we offer people something to help them cope with this information?
Well, first of all, I think by learning this, it should make people realize that they need to be activists, that they need to be engaged, that they need to understand that in order to have good government, you have to have good, strong citizen involvement in that government.
Mm-hmm.
And then they need to be told that, you know, they can save themselves. There's a mechanism. And that mechanism is as simple as anything. It's as simple as the nose on your face. But it's going to be as difficult as climbing Mount Everest. And you know what that mechanism is?
Mm-hmm.
Stop voting for Democrats and Republicans. We need to destroy these two political parties. They are the problem, not the solution.
But then again, we get back to right back, even if we voted, let's say Ron Paul, we voted him in.
Yeah.
And then what? He doesn't have
vote them out. The point I'm making is stop voting for all Democrats and Republicans. They're responsible for everything. They've been in charge for my entire lifetime. Whom else is there to blame? But
well,
them.
I certainly believe that.
I'm going to give you the secret to how to defeat them. I've done it now. I've exposed it. People ask me, how did you win your election? You've defeated the Democrats and Republicans not once but twice. How do you do it? I said, it's easy. Here's how. I don't run against the candidate. I run against the two parties because that's who controls the candidate anyway.
And people want something fresh. They want the old ways gone. The old ways are not serving us.
Well, they also see how corrupt these two parties are. And they clearly see that the two parties, they put their party first, they put their special interest money second, and the people might be third, or they could even be fourth in line. So I run against the party, not the person, and I win every time. It's so easy to beat these parties because they're so corrupt, they're so vile, Why do you think I get out of politics? Because hanging around these people makes you want to take a shower.
What happened? You know, I live in Michigan, Let me ask you about this. I found it to be fascinating. One of your last conspiracy theory shows was about the water that's being filtered from our country to foreign countries.
Well, anywhere. It's not being filtered to foreign countries. It's being stolen by corporations so that they can sell the water. It's a corporate profit thing.
I don't think water,
which is essential to life, I don't think water should be a for-profit business.
Well,
and it is.
I think it was T-Bone Pickens that just purchased the incredible land rights over one of the greatest aqueducts in the United States.
Absolutely, because water is the new gold, or it's going to be.
And the Bushes, I believe, have just purchased one of the biggest aqueducts in Brazil, or is it Argentina?
Well, there you got it.
Yeah.
See, and to me,
I read that.
How dare them make water for profit when water is an essence for life? And that's what they're doing in the peninsula. The law says that you can't take water out of the Great Lakes. So the way they get around it, they go to a tributary and they sink their well in. And they're sucking out 400,000 gallons a day.
Did you get any feedback from that one particular show?
I just did the show. And you should see their plant up there, the Nestle plant. You could put 4 metrodomes in it where the Vikings play football.
Mm-hmm.
That's how big it is. It's 1 million square feet.
Wow.
And all they do is suck out free water. I mean, at least oil, they got to pay for it. They get what they sell for free. They suck it out of the ground there, put it in bottles, and they sell it to you more expensive than gasoline. And we're doing it.
Talk to me about the EPA.
What about it?
Good, bad, or indifferent.
Well, you know, the EPA is going to be political like everything else. Whoever runs it is going to put the political slant on it, so you're never going to get an honest evaluation as long as the Democrats and Republicans are in charge, because look at what happened on 9/11. The original EPA report from the former governor of New Jersey, Christy Todd Whitman, she was head of the EPA, and initially she told everybody New York was extremely dangerous with toxins after 9/11. Well, of course, it went to the White House. They changed it all, made her sign off on it. She resigned a little while later, stating, "Member, go back to work. Everything's fine." Well, all the workers that cleaned up 9/11 are all dying today or will be dead shortly because they all got poisoned by being in there. I know.
Really?
I've talked to them.
I have talked to him. We've interviewed a number of them here on our show.
Yeah, there you
go. It's amazing what is happening.
And they killed them. They're collateral damage, and so be it. Pretty ruthless.
And again,
I think that the whim of the president, not using the facts they have, but turning political. So I don't put much hope. But EPA also approved the dioxin, the dispersant Corexit down in the Gulf.
Mm-hmm.
This stuff has got 4 lethal poisons in it. And they're putting it in the water for the oil. How can that be good? Adding 4 lethal poisons to the water.
And most people just think of it as...
I forget the other two.
Well, most people are just thinking, wow, oh goody, we have all these little organisms that are running around the Gulf and they've eaten up all the oil and it's all gone. And most people know that all they're doing is covering it with white sand on the beaches.
Yeah, and it's going to be horrible down there. And it's, you know, they've had there. So the EPA is political. It will do what it's told to do.
Exactly.
And people that rely on the EPA are sadly mistaken.
So talk to me about the shadow government that's really running the program.
Well, again, it goes back to L. Fletcher Prouty. There's a level of bureaucrats in our government in high places that never change. They're there, they run their departments, and elected officials come and go, and they do whatever they want. because by the time the elected official learns what's going on, it's already being implemented. There's nothing they can do. So they got to go along with it. Otherwise, they'd look like they don't know what's going on, and they're not going to admit that. The Secret Team.
And the ultimate goal of all of this?
I don't know. Ask them. You're asking me
a
question.
I've heard you talk about
I guess the ultimate goal is to control our government completely and not have to worry about us citizens anymore.
How did you feel about the Supreme Court judgment statement that they wanted, that it was okay to fund?
Okay for what?
It was okay to fund public elections.
By corporations?
Yes.
Oh, I was outraged. You mean where they give corporations the same as an individual?
Yes.
That showed that corporations have now taken over the court, too.
Yes.
See, that's part of fascism. Corporations are running the country now. Because they've even got the Supreme Court ruling for them. How about the ruling that said the government can take your land and they don't need a reason? That was another good one, too, that case where government took people's land so they could bring in Kmart or Walmart to get more tax money. And the people sued because they didn't want to leave their homes and lost because the Supreme Court ruled in the favor that the government could take. So don't tell me in this country that you own your land. You don't. You just rent it from the government, and they can evict you anytime they feel like it. And they don't need a reason.
We have some more questions here. There's so much. It just seems, it's actually overwhelming. Even for people that do know the nature of conspiracy and understand that these things are actually happening, it is overwhelming.
Well, this book has nothing to do with conspiracies. These are actual government
documents.
No,
this is real stuff. This is not conspiracy. These are actual documents, photocopied and put into this book. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Have you had any? Let me ask you quickly. Have you had any feedback on this book?
I will tell you, every book I write, I have 5 New York Times bestsellers now. None of them have ever been reviewed by mainstream media. Now, they get reviewed on the Internet. My books are now, I'm proud. On the Internet, my books are being viewed. They're called alternative history books.
Wow.
And I'm proud of that. But on mainstream media, get it. My last 2 books have been New York Times bestsellers for multiple weeks, and not even the New York Times will review them.
Well,
I've never had a book
review
done by mainstream media.
We have another question from Mike in California. Mike asks, any comment from Jesse on Arnold Schwarzenegger's recent problems?
Well, you know, pretty despicable. I know them both very well. They're both friends of mine, and I have all the sympathy in the world for Maria. What can you say? But it's their private life. They will deal with it, and it's not just Ventura's business.
Well, I can respect that. April in Colorado would like to know, Jesse, could Jesse once and for all here on your show silence the critics who claim he is not a Navy SEAL?
You know, I'm so tired of that. It's absurd. You know, I just went to the Navy SEAL reunion last fall because my class 58, had a reunion after 40 years. We're the class that presented the famous bell that you now have to ring to quit. I go to Navy SEAL reunions. I'm tattooed. I couldn't do that if I wasn't one, because there are SEALs out in the world that chase down frauds. If I were a fraud, I would have been chased down already. And why people think I served 3 years active duty with Underwater Demolition Team 12, and I served 2 years with SEAL Team 1. I went through SEAL Cadre, which is Advanced Guerrilla Warfare. UDTs and SEALs are completely interchangeable. You don't get any choice. It's the same training. It's called BUDS, Basic Underwater Demolition SEAL. And it's the same training for both. It's just where are the openings as to where they send you. Did you go to a UDT team or did you go to a SEAL team? I went to a UDT team because I happened to be a former competitive swimmer. And the better swimmers were all kind of channeled into underwater demolition, and other guys went to SEAL team. But it's all based. They're all the same community. In fact, then in the 80s, all the UDT teams were decommissioned, and my UDT 12 would today be SEAL Team 5, I believe. So enough of that nonsense. My instructors even got on national TV.
They heard it here on the People Speak Radio.
Well, my instructors, when this came up, my instructor, Terry Mother Moy, Chief Moy, got on national TV. My former executive officer, Captain Larry Bailey, got on television. Those are the guys I served with. What more needs to be said about this crap?
So this wasn't a real surprise to you when you're hearing it?
Well, it angers me after all these years. I paid a dear price to go through Bud's training. It has a 75% washout rate. And for people to, how come I can go to the SEAL reunions every year? How come Dick Marcinko's a friend of mine, the guy who created SEAL Team 6? We're called the teams, and that's what
there
we are.
Go. And hopefully that'll put to rest that one conspiracy.
Well, it's not a conspiracy.
So how do
they even inquired. When this came up, they went to the United States Navy at the Naval Amphib Base in Coronado, and the Naval Amphibious Base responded that Jesse Ventura is a Navy Underwater Demolition SEAL Team member in good standing. Case closed.
How dare
anyone question whether I'm in the teams or not?
Amazing.
I challenge anybody.
Sometimes. So, where are you going next with this? Is conspiracy theory going to come back?
This conspiracies I've looked at, they want me chasing little green men and lizard people. And I don't know if I can do that because I want to concentrate on using my TV show to try to make our country better if I can by exposing things and the conspiracies out there and shedding light on them. And also, they're back. My son's back on payroll because he works on the show, but unfortunately, my contract, they didn't renew it when they were supposed to, so it's now void, and so they haven't come at me with a new contract yet that I know of, so maybe they plan on doing the show without me now. I don't know.
And are you? I hope.
I don't know. Maybe it's time I move on. I made my point. I never thought those 15 would ever be aired to begin with. So I should feel good that I got 15 of them on the air in today's world.
Well, I thought they were wonderful myself, and I know a lot of people that enjoy it, and I know that as I was researching some of the stuff on this interview this week, I have run across hundreds and hundreds of sites that say, we want Jesse back, we want conspiracy theory back.
Well, the best thing they can do is contact True TV. Don't just send it over the internet. That don't do no good. Tell True TV you want the show and you want it the way it was. You don't want what they're going to give you.
Let's get conspiracy theory back. Jesse, what's next for you?
A lot of golf this summer because I've never made a hole in one and I don't want to die not getting one.
Is that your bucket list? Stuff.
Yeah, so I'm focused on a lot of golf, and then of course this winter I go back to Mexico to live. I want to get proficient at paddle surfing.
Paddle surfing.
That's where you carry your paddle and you don't have to get up and down. You paddle out on top of the board, you catch the wave, and you ride it holding the paddle. It's great.
Oh, how fun.
Laird Hamilton does it, the greatest surfer in the world. It's a tremendous workout. Unbelievable. That's why I'm training hard again, because at my age of near 60, getting in that water is a challenge, and you better be in shape for it, especially in the waves.
Well, you are a SEAL, so I think you're up for the task.
Well, Jesse, I don't know. You've got those people that say I'm not.
Jesse's book, 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read, Jesse Ventura with Dick Russell, co-author, and it is a pleasure. I wish you all the luck in the world.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure. Thank
you
very much for letting me exercise my First Amendment rights of freedom of speech. You keep up the good work by talking to people like me.
I will absolutely do that, and we look forward to having you on the show again.
Very good. We'll do it again sometime.
You have a great evening. Thank
you,
folks.
Bye.
That's
bye-bye.
It for this evening. And always remember, when the people speak, you make a difference. Never not speak.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.